Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 41 of DBC. This week, we are going to be discussing horror movies, scary books, and all the fun things that go bump in the night. And do you get anxious when you hear about them? We're not medical professionals. You can listen to us, but don't take our advice seriously. We're just doing this for fun because we like to hear ourselves talk. If you find yourself in a very, very low place, please seek medical attention. If you don't want to seek medical attention, Peanut has some phone numbers for you to call to talk to somebody. Peanut?
Yep. So if you're feeling suicidal and you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text 45645, and in the US you can call 988, or you can text talk to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal, you need somebody to talk to, you can report if you think somebody is suicidal and needs help. So please reach out. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. As a reminder, our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you. For this week's quote, this is one that speaks to both of the other girls because they love the movie, and if I remember correctly, the book. I have read and seen neither. I'm every nightmare you've ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I am everything you were afraid of. Pennywise it. It's a clown. I'm not doing it.
Pennywise. My favorite
He's
clown.
Like the most famous clown.
The most despised clown for me. I'm like,
loved.
So this is a good place to start.
That's what I figured.
Joyelle, you've watched it. Both yes. versions?
Both versions, yes.
I've watched it both versions. Taylor, have you watched it? No.
No.
Even though it's Tim Curry in the original?
He's still a clown. It ain't happening. Okay.
So, a very, very famous book by Stephen King, who, I don't know how Peanut feels about him, but he is my literary life mate.
I don't think he's my life mate, but I truly, I love.
Literary his life mate, Peanut.
Yeah, he's a very specific category for her. Not just a life mate, a literary life mate only.
I do enjoy taking his hand and walking through the dark. I will probably go into deep mourning when that man passes away. Do not talk to me. Do not contact me. I will be wearing all black.
I feel like I will be like, yeah, like I'm totally gonna, like, yeah, he has to live forever. Like, we have to find a
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. He's the same age as my mom. Like, he turned, like, their birthdays are, like, literally a week and a half apart. My mom's, like 8 days older than Stephen King. And I'm like, oh, my God. He's not going to be here in 10 years. And I'm like, no.
Like, science needs to find a way to preserve him.
And I don't mean in the form of his children. Because his son, Joe, is a spitting image of his father from the 70s.
Although him and his son did write a book together that was good.
Yeah, they've written a few. But anyways, back to it.
And now back to
a stunning book. There's like, I don't know, 1100 and some odd pages in it. If you can get through it in a couple weeks, I highly recommend reading it. Read the book, please. Even if it takes you 3 years, read the book. I don't care if you watch both versions of the movie. Read the book. It's so much better. Anyways, the first movie that was made was a made-for-TV series. It was in two parts. It had a great cast. I mean, an amazing cast. Tim Curry was Pennywise. There you go. Oscar winner. Like, the man should have been nominated. Jonathan Brandis, the guy from the Waltons, I forget his name, John Ritter. Like, it wasn't nobody's in this television movie. It was big names. I love that version because it's so close to the book as TV would allow it. I'm not dissing Bill Skarsgård. He made a fabulous Pennywise, but he's not Pennywise the way I see Pennywise when I reread the book. I see Tim Curry. Tim Curry and only Tim Curry. The new It, the ones that came out at the theater with Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. Yeah, I get it. They were scary. But yeah, there's a lot of CGI in that movie. There's a lot of heavy makeup, a lot of special effects. Shit they didn't have in the original. Like, I'm serious, I'm going back. In the original, there was claymation people. Mm-hmm. Like, that didn't happen since California Raisins.
Yeah, the original came out in, like, didn't it come out in, like, the early 90s or something?
That's what I'm actually just about to look up.
89, 90, I think, 91.
I remember watching it on TV.
Oh, me too. And I have it on DVD, and I still watch it on DVD. Yes, I still have a DVD player.
So do I.
I have DVDs, yeah.
I even have a VCR.
So do I. 1990.
So, yeah, we're going back, like...
33 years.
A lot of fucking years here.
It's older. It's, the movie's older than I am.
Oh, Peanut. Or Crispy. That's so hard to swallow, but I was graduating from high school.
Do you want us to like you?
Hey, look, this coming from the chick who hasn't been to Penalty Box in her entire life or had a chicken delight, you just shush.
I haven't.
Yeah, so there.
We're going to have a chicken delight intervention.
But have you had the...
But I mean, okay, so go ahead, Peanut.
No.
But now I want to know what Peanut was going to say.
No, it has nothing to do with spookiness, so we'll discuss it after.
Okay. So, I know, Crispy, you don't watch horror movies. You said you watch the Saw movies.
My God, no. She doesn't watch horror movies, but then she's like, oh, I watched Halloween, and I watched this, and I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
So let me clarify. Sure, about that last week. So let me clarify. I don't watch new age horror movies because they're just no. I have no desire to watch Saw. I literally came home the other day. I went and grabbed something for my mom and I to eat. And I come home and I was like, okay, pick a movie for us to watch. That way we can watch when we get home because it's spooky season. It's time for us to watch our movies. I come through the door and she has up on the screen Amazon Prime Saw movies. They don't have all of them on there, which is stupid. But she's like, look, we can finally watch them. I looked at her and went, no, it is almost dark out. I am not watching it while we're eating. This is not happening.
Listen, if I was the same age as your mother, I would swear she was my mother and you belong to my mom because my mom hates horror movies.
And I love them. You know what's funny is that, like, I was, when Friday the 13th and all that first came out, so I was young and stuff, and I watched them, and, you know, I lived out in the county, surrounded by, like, a forested area and fields, and we had a pond right next to our house and stuff. There were no street lights out that far or anything like that. And I'm sitting in the dark watching Friday the 13th and all that with our windows and our doors unlocked.
Oh, God, no.
I am so going to date myself and Anne's going to love this part. Anne grew up in Stony Point.
Mm-hmm.
She lived on Elm Street. She was the last house on the left. There was a cemetery next door. And her dad had what was literally one of the first cable packages in Ontario called On TV. And we watched horror movies. Anne doesn't watch horror movies now. She can't watch horror movies now. She doesn't like them. But when we were young, that's what we did. We were, here's Anne out in Stony Point. Again, no streetlights, cornfield, children of corn. Yep. Cemetery, dead people, yep. A last house on the left. Iconic horror movie from the 70s. Elm mm-hmm. Street. Hello, Freddy. Like, she had the makings of everything.
She was the horror movies.
Literally. And it was like, honestly, it was the best house. And that's probably why I spent most of my youth there until they moved back to Windsor. But yeah, I can totally get that peanut being out in the county. Because when it got dark, like when the sun went down out in the county.
Oh, yeah. It goes down.
And like it got dark. It was dark.
And we had coyotes and stuff because, like, one night my dad was out walking on our patio in the dark because he, I think he was barbecuing something and he was just... walking and he walked around like we had like an L-shaped kind of cement patio and he walked around to the front of the house and sitting right there was a coyote. Yeah.
I would have tried to play with it.
And in the winter I would like ice skate and out with on the pond. And well, sometimes I would not with them, but it would I would like skate in the dark or like we'd have our outside light on, like I would still be out skating after dark and that because I mean it gets dark at like what, like 5 o'clock, right? And then yeah. and I'd be out skating and you could hear the coyotes yipping and barking out in the like hedgerows and stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I would love that.
Dana and I are just being like, new babies, they're ours.
Hug me. One time I was in our bathroom and it was dark out. And I heard something like some noise outside. And I looked out the bathroom window, which looked out to the front of the house, to the road. And we had some trees in the front and I saw like all these legs walking and I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I see like police lights. Yeah. Then a police car pulls into our driveway and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Well, up the road on your way into Amherstburg, there was a farm right where the big creek is. And they had cows. And the cows got loose. And they had come down the road and they had turned onto our road and were walking down the road and the police were like trying to herd them back in.
That's amazing.
And so they like walked by our house and we were like the second house from the corner. And then they got to the corner and they turned and started heading back into town.
Hell no, we won't milk. Hell no, we won't milk.
But our house was like we really set far back from the road, but up the street, our neighbor's houses that were closer. And apparently, like these cows went in their front yard, and that was like they're right at their windows and stuff.
Open up your blinds.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine you're sitting on the toilet, and you just happen to look out the window? Just cow stare back at you.
That would be one of those moments of I'd probably shit myself and then be happy I'd be on the toilet.
You know, I just like I think I'm pretty sure I was getting ready to go out or something. I was a teenager, but it was so funny. I'm just like, what the fuck?
I wouldn't have known how to react to that. Like, thankfully, I don't have any stories like that. Like the only one. I think I can't remember if I talked about it. I think I know I sent you guys the voice clip. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I was going to say, I think the only kind of creepy story like that I have, like, I mean, there's other ones that are scary for a whole plethora of other reasons, but I don't know if you girls remember a few years back when there were a bunch of newspaper articles going out about this guy going around Tecumseh and just looking in people's windows and watching them, whether they're...
I remember that.
So he was watching them eat dinner, he was watching them have TV, watching them in the shower, and he'd just be standing there, wouldn't try to come in or anything, just be standing watching. And it was like, oh, okay.
For now.
He'd been doing it for weeks, and he literally would just stand there watching, and you wouldn't know at first. And we were watching the Scream movies, and I had gone into my kitchen, and the way that my house was split on McNorton, the front foyer was 5 steps down, and then it was another split to the side, 4 steps down to the basement. So I was upstairs where the bedrooms and bathroom and living room were for that level. The living room was at the front of the house. I had big windows to look out. And all of a sudden, I go into the kitchen because it was kind of open concept. I was grabbing like some sort of snack for the movie. And all of a sudden, I just happened to look out. And there's this guy just standing on the sidewalk in front of my house, just staring at me. And all of a sudden, he's just waving.
Oh, my God. Like,
what the fuck? I ran over to the curtains and all that and closed them immediately. I double-checked that everything was locked, came back up and told Mama. I'm like, there's a dude standing outside just waving at me. She's like, what? She looks outside and she just happens to, like, catch the tail end of him as he's walking away. And she's like, wonder if that's that guy from those news articles. I was like, next thing you know, I think it was like either the next day or the day following that, they were like, oh, we finally found the, like, they didn't actually call him a peeping Tom, but they were like, we found the person in question. And it was just like, yep, he's under arrest. Don't worry, everyone. He was found on McNorton and something else a couple nights ago. I'm like, God, it was him. It was like, that's not okay. It freaked me the fuck out. Because like, yeah. I said, we were watching the Scream movies. I'm like, I'm done. We're good for the night. We're stopping it right here.
That's more like,
it's coming from inside the house.
That's more like the Michael Myers standing and
hiding behind the bushes or the sheets.
Yeah, just watching.
Yeah. I hadn't seen the Halloween movies yet, but had I probably would have shit myself. No word of a lie. I have to go change my pants.
Do you guys remember a few years ago when people were dressing up as clowns and doing that?
Oh, yes. Yes. My fucking worst nightmare came to life that year.
We had one in LaSalle. So, my house is a split level ranch. I have a big, big bay window in the front, and that's the living room my husband and I use. So my mom is the basement dweller, and so she has her TV and furniture and whatnot downstairs because we don't watch the same things. I was sitting on the couch, and I don't know, we're not cheap people, but we don't turn any lights on.
No,
unless we absolutely have to.
I watch TV in the dark.
Same.
We usually have the light above the stove on, and that's it. So, watching TV, and it was around the creepy season, and I look out the picture window, and Churn and I look at Norm, I'm like, hey. He goes, what? I go, there's a clown on the corner. He's like, what? there's somebody dressed as a clown on the corner right there. So we're the second house off the corner. That's how I can see so easy. I don't know if the clown saw me looking at him or what, but he took off running. By the time Norm got up to get to the picture window, the clown was gone. He's like, you're seeing things.
That's it. See, no more it for you.
my husband is a non-believer. He doesn't believe in anything supernatural, UFOs, or anything like that.
I don't believe in any of that either.
So when I said I saw, he's like, sure you did. Like,
did you not read the news articles that were going around proving that you were right?
I will say to him, so now that Sam's moved out, he's working in his office is now Sam's old room. Mm-hmm. My husband works from home. I sit out in the living room, and again, spooky season, all I watch is horror movies, like 48 streaming things and Tubi, and I'm watching horror movies nonstop. And I cross-stitch while I'm doing it. Out of the corner of my eye, and I get it, my peripheral vision is not the greatest in the world. But out, and I have open concept, so you walk in my front door, you can see out the back door. Through the kitchen, through the living room, the whole nine yards. My peripheral vision, I'm cross-stitching, watching horror movies, and I swear on my life, I swear on my children's heads, I see a figure in my kitchen. I think it's my husband. I start talking to him. What do you want for dinner? I was thinking of this, you know. I get no answer. Oh, like, fucker. Continue cross-stitching. Drinking my water. I gotta pee. So I...
You sure it was water?
So I pause the movie. Take my glasses off, put my cross stitching down, get up off the couch, and I walk to the bathroom. The bathroom's in the same hall that Sam's room is. So I go pee, wash my hands, come out, and I come into the room, and he's got the door kind of closed, not super tight, but like there's a little, you can peek in. So I kind of knock just in case he's not in a meeting. He's like, yeah, what's up? I open the door. I'm like, how fucking rude are you to ignore me? Like, you're out in the kitchen getting the coffee and I'm saying, what do you want for dinner? I'm thinking of making this, and you just walk by me. He looks at me, he goes, I've had one coffee today. He goes, my cup is empty. He's right there. Who was in the kitchen? He goes, nobody. I'm like, listen, I saw somebody in the kitchen. You're seeing things. I have been telling him for 23 years this house is haunted.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
About your ghost and living in... Because, again, like, I'm the non-believer and everything, but I find it all fascinating. Now, I always thought whenever I watch shows and people live in a haunted house and stuff, don't you feel like, do you ever feel when you're taking a shower that since you have a ghost, they can see you naked? Or if you're, like, having sex or doing it by yourself, that you have an audience?
Okay, so let me just say, from the witch perspective, who can answer this for people, like, for those who believe in this and are looking for a legitimate answer, depending on who the spirit is, some will, yes, be voyeurs and be watching, be like, oh, I never did that move, and be judging you.
That's creative.
But a lot of the times, they really don't care. They're just wandering through the places going, oh, yeah, more people fucking, oh, well, and move right along. Oh, she's in the shower. Now, mind you, you can also ask them to please not watch, because I have had that conversation before where it's like, listen. This is going to get awkward. I don't want to make eye contact. Me like, hey, how you doing? Come here often.
Look, I'm a chubby girl. Nobody wants to see me in the shower.
Well, you know,
that's I'm thinking, there's lots,
living
there's lots
or
out there.
Dead, trust me.
I'm thinking like, I don't like, you know, I'm with you. Like I'm chubby and been single a long time and.
Just saying, there's a reason why there's called chubby chasers. If people didn't
I would
like,
just feel like, I don't know, like just every, like, oh my God, if you're doing something like perverted or dirty or something and you're like,
honestly, I'm not going to lie.
I get that.
It's a little yeah. unnerving. Like for those of us who believe in it and actually communicate with them and all that stuff and can see them or see other beings, it's not fun when you have a full audience and you're just like, okay, well, now I have stage fright. Could you all please leave? You're making it awkward. And you're like, do it, do it, do it. I've literally heard the cheering before. And it's like, stop it. It's like if a guy, it's one of those moments where like if a guy heard it, you would understand where he went from being at full mast to suddenly. You have grandma going, you can do it, honey. Make me that great grandbaby.
Now
it really takes away from the moment.
And I know, Peanut, you said you need concrete evidence. You're a non-believer. You need to see the ghost before you believe. I think Norn's like that, too. But Because he's such a non-believer, he will never see because mm-hmm. his veil is super thick.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people who are sensitive come in my house and they're like, oh, this, I get such a weird feeling being in your house. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I feel that myself sometimes. Sam, always, all from about 5 years old, somebody's watching me. Somebody keeps looking in my room. Like, you know, you don't question a five-year-old when they tell you that. Brendan was... four, when Norm's dad passed away. And when we went up to Sault Ste. Marie for the funeral, they left the casket open so that we could say goodbye, but my kids were little, and I didn't want them to be, like, seeing their jodgy in a casket for the last time. So I stayed out, and Norm and his mom and the rest of the family went in. Then they closed the casket. We had the service. So the kids were at the service. We spent Halloween in Sault Ste. Marie because, unfortunately, my father-in-law passed away on October 28th. We spent Halloween in Sault Ste. Marie. We're there for come home in November 4th or something like that. And somewhere around American Thanksgiving, which Canadian people know is around the end of last Thursday in November.
Uh-huh.
Americans, you obviously know. People in Europe, that's when it is. Brendan tells me he has a tummy ache. He doesn't want to go to school. I'm like, oh. I didn't realize that this was the start of 40 years of hassle with my son. But anyways. I'm in the kitchen and I'm making him, and it's an old Scottish thing. I'm so sorry, people. Whenever my children were sick, I made them weak tea with honey. Because that's what my Scottish grandpa did. So I'm making him a weak tea and I'm putting some honey in it. And he says to me, Chachi was here last night. I'm like... Brendan, I said, you know, Jodgy isn't here no more. He says, no, Jodgy was sitting on my bed last night and we were talking. Keep in mind, my son is 4 years old. I'm like, what was Jodgy wearing? Again, I have no idea what my mother-in-law has put my father in to be buried. My father-in-law, pardon me. He says, he had on black pants, and he had on a shirt like Daddy's. My husband and my father-in-law, Montreal Canadian fans. Norm, pretty much his whole attire outside of his work shirts is Montreal Canadiens t-shirts, jerseys, sweaters, the whole nine yards. I'm like, huh. Give him his tea. Put him in the living room. I put on the Wiggles. He's happy. I call my mother-in-law. I'm like, hey, Ma, how's it going? She's like, I'm okay. She goes, why are you calling me at 10 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, listen, I got to ask you a question. She's like, okay. I says, you know, I did not see Dad in the casket. Said, I was not there when you and Norm picked out his clothes. I have no idea what you buried him in. She's like, where are you going with this? On the other end of the line. I'm like, listen, Brendan told me this morning that Jodgy was visiting him last night. And I asked him what Jodgy was wearing, and I want you to confirm. She's like, okay. I said, did you put him in black dress pants with his Montreal Canadiens jersey? She's like, yes, we did. And so I tell her, I says, Brendan told me that he was sitting on the end of his bed and they were talking. My mother-in-law says to me, I had the exact same experience last night. Is it a coincidence or was he visiting both of them? Mm-hmm. Make up your mind.
So for me, I'm sure anyone who listens to this is going to be like, oh, she's fucking crazy.
However, yeah, my husband already said that.
Well, I would say for me, I know that I'm going to use this as a miniature soapbox learning expo moment. So fun filled fact, people's abilities don't come to fruition until they're about 3.5-4 years old. So before that age, you don't really see anything because everything's still a jumble. You don't really have, like, you have touches of it, but you don't have anything solid yet to know what you're going to be able to do. And then as we get older, adults make excuses. Oh, Timmy had an invisible friend growing up. What was his name?
Imaginary friend.
I would say, exactly. He had an imaginary friend. We give all of these adult explanations for it because we're told from a young age, that these things aren't possible and don't exist. So what happens is, as you explained it, the veil, basically, the covering of your third eye gets thicker and thicker until the point that you see nothing and hear nothing. And what I've explained to several people when I've talked about the stuff where they're like, oh, yeah, you have psychics and mediums and all that. They're gifted people. They have this ability. Not to downplay any other witches. I know that there'd probably be a witch hunt for those who would disagree with me.
The pitchforks.
Yeah, exactly. Tie her up. It's time to burn her at the stake because she's talking against us. But we are not special. Witches are no different than anyone else because every single person on this planet has the abilities to be psychic, to be able to talk to the dead, be able to see all the other beings, see all the other realms, yada, yada.
You just got to know how to hone it. You got to know how to hone your skills and keep that veil thin.
I would say there's literally, you can do meditations for it. I have multiple books on it for helping with it. There's exercises you can do it for. But no one is, like I said, quote unquote, special when it comes to that. It's just the fact that we either stopped listening to society or we come from people who say, hey, you know what? This is possible. Like my mom never told me, like when I was younger, I remember her saying woo woo stuff and just like, okay, no, she didn't believe in that. But her grandmother, my great grandmother, Grandma Honey, even told her, she's like, oh yeah, those things are all real. And she was a very God fearing Christian woman. Love that woman to bits and pieces. Best example of a Christian there could ever be. But she always said, she's like, oh yeah, those abilities are real. Those people are there. I know I can still see my sister and my husband. Like, yes, it makes me sad, but I can still communicate with them. And it's because of people like her that it was able to be passed down in our family, where it's like, okay, Mama questioned it to a certain point, but she was like, okay, I remember Grandma Honey used to say, oh, you can talk to the angels, sweetie. They're always right there. You can hear them. You can hear their voices. They'll speak to you if you listen. And honestly, it's the truth. If you take the time and actually, it's a muscle just like anything else. Mm-hmm. If you strengthen it and exercise it, you will be able to hear them clear as day. And you can obviously, like, the way that one of the books talks about it is that it's a radio. Your mind is a radio. You can turn volumes up. You can turn them down. So you can hear the dead, you can shut them off, so that way you don't hear them at all. And it just comes from exercise and practicing. And then just a fun-filled fact that I learned like 2 years ago now. The third eye is literal. Right here in the center of your forehead, where the third eye is spiritually and literally, there's actually the pineal gland is actually an eyeball. It has its own lens. It has a full thing. It's everything. It is an eyeball, which is why we have the third eye. Okay, I'm done my teasing moment.
Thank you. That was a beautiful soapbox moment.
Thank you.
It was so freaky to me to have my son tell me what my father-in-law was buried in at 4 years old and he never saw him in his casket. So I was just like, and now my son's 21 and I said to him the one day, I'm like, come watch The Shining with me. He's like, I don't watch those kind of movies, Mom. So he obviously made his veil super thick.
He's like, no, thank you.
Sam, on the other hand, she is ultra sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Someone might describe her as an empath. Whatever emotion you're feeling, she's going to feed off that and she's going to have that emotion. So if you're sad, she's going to feel that. She's going to get sad too. And she won't know why.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's been times like she's been sitting on the couch. Well, when she lived here, her and I would be sitting on the couch watching TV and she would just start crying. I'd be like, are you okay? What's going on? And she'd be laughing, but the tears are streaking down her face. And she's like, I don't, somebody's sad and I don't know why I'm crying. This is so weird. And I'm like, yes, yes, it is. But it was, we had to learn about what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so once we figured it out and she could kind of like control it a little. Now that she's older, she can still, it still affects her. She still feels it. Like, good God, don't let her in a hospital.
Oh,
don't
no.
Don't let her see old people. Oh my, she sees old people on the street. She's a basket case. I mean, she's like openly weeping. Like, people get old, Sam. It's okay. Daddy's gonna die soon.
Instead of I see dead, instead of I see dead people, it's I see pre-dead people.
The old guy on the street overhears her and he's like, what the fuck?
He's sitting there, he's like, oh my God, I thought I was alive. He's like, Margaret, am I alive?
There was some movie, the people had a death date. They had a death date, the year and the day that they were going to die. That's what I feel like my child can do, is predict that. But yeah, so like being in this house and having all these weird things happen. Uh-huh. My brother knows a lot of people. He knows a lot of people that have different abilities. And he put me in contact with three of them. And they came to my house. And not to steal from M. Night Shyamalan's movie. But yeah, the one's like, I see dead people. She's like, wow. She goes, you got like five of them in your house. She goes, one of them is horrible. She goes, and the other four are here to protect you. What the fuck? Get out of my house now. So they did an investigation. They found like they got some EVPs, which is electric voice phenomenon. So it's, they tape record them asking questions and then play it back at a higher frequency and they can hear the answers.
Mm-hmm.
That's very interesting. So they got a couple of those. They went through the house and they kind of like blessed every room and saged it and then lit a candle and said, you know, bad spirit, you're not welcome here. We do not give you permission to come into this room. Blow mm-hmm. the candle out, leave it on your windowsill.
Yep.
So like I've going back about 15 years on this, I still have purple candles on my windowsill, like little tiny purple candles on my windowsill. But it's amazing to me that I can have such a belief in this, and I know what I see. I know what I hear. I'm a 52-year-old educated woman. I'm not going to tell you I see something if I don't see it. And I'm not going to get mad at you for not talking to me if I don't think you're not, you know, if I ask you a question and you don't answer, when in fact it was not my husband, it was a shadow person or mm-hmm. a figure in my kitchen And then I got mad at my husband for, like, ignoring me. So, I mean, and then to have my husband in the same house where all this shit happens, and he's like, yeah, that's the neighbor opening their garage door. Like, my TV is changing channels. Like, I'm trying to watch a movie, it's going flick, 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 flick. He says, it's the neighbor opening their garage door. Okay.
Which would make sense, like, if it only changed one channel, maybe two, then that would make sense. That would be a logical kind of guess where you'd be like, okay, yeah, it was them opening it, then it was them closing it. Because the old style TVs and old style remotes did cross signals. So that would have made sense. That would have been two times.
So this was last year, and my husband bought an 80-inch LCD 4K TV.
I forgot about that.
On the Black Friday. Yeah. This TV takes up my whole wall, people. You don't even understand. I should post a picture on our... I am going to post a picture on our Facebook page if you guys want to see this ginormous TV.
I literally just remembered... I just remembered you telling us after you got it and you guys watched hockey on it and you spray bottled him when you were getting iced and he looked at you at what the fuck, and you're like, oh, the TV, it's so realistic. I just felt the water from the icing. Oh my God.
Yes. In case you don't know, I have a really wicked sense of humor. So yeah, it was doing it last year, and that's what he's like. And I don't watch mainstream TV. Now we have Bell Vibe, whatever the fuck you call it, but I very rarely watch it. We use it, Norm, for his hockey games and for like PVR shows like Big Brother and Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares and anything Gordon Ramsay's in and British Bake Off. And then we watch it later. I watch all of our streaming channels. So I'm on like Amazon, Disney Plus, Tubi, Netflix, you name it. When it starts changing streaming channels, something is fucking going on. Don't tell me it's the neighbor opening his garage door. He changed me from Netflix to Disney Plus, and he did not do it opening his garage door.
Yeah, or say, now that you put it that way, I was picturing, like, I figured it was real TV going up and down a channel. Changing from one streaming platform to another? No.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, when I get involved in a Netflix show that has like so many episodes,
just get the shit out of me.
Oh, when I get involved in Netflix and I watch so many shows, you know how sometimes it'll say, "Are you still watching?"
Yes.
And you're like, "Yeah." Jesus, honestly, Netflix, why are you asking me this? I've hit yes. And it's gone down to no and shut off.
That's when you know that the ghosts are being rude. And they're saying, you're done for the night. It's your bedtime.
Get your ass up and motivated. Stop watching TV. So, yeah. It's... I would love for you to come spend the night, Peanut. I really would.
I don't know. I want you to get scared. I mean, I've had, like... like my aunt and uncle on my dad's side said that they used to live in a haunted house and that like they would hear somebody coming up and down the stairs and that they'd be in like the living room and the table in the dining room would start shaking. And my uncle would go and sit under the table and for hours, and it wouldn't shake, nothing would happen, and then as soon as he like would leave, get it out from under the table again, it would start shaking. But and my grandmother too on my dad's side said she used to work. There's a house in Amherstburg that used to, it's right next to where the old Anderton Tavern used to be. It's a great big giant, like, old Victorian. It looks haunted, and it looks like it would be a haunted house and that. But, and she said she used to be a maid there, and that house is haunted. That house had, she says, has tunnels in it from when they had the underground railroad. And stuff that would, because that they had that over here, right, that came into Amherstburg and stuff, the people fleeing from the States and stuff. So, but again, I would have to, I have to witness it myself. Like, see,
but the problem is going to be that in your case, Peanut, and obviously in Norm's case too, you have to be open to the kind of stuff and be willing to see it, because for a lot of it, like, even for me, before I finally just accepted it and went with the roller coaster ride, said, fine, I throw up my hands, let's do this shit. Until that point in time, I was like, nope, I wouldn't hear things. Like, you'd get, like, you get the kind of creepy things once in a while where you're like, yeah, that was kind of weird. I can't really explain that, but it's not real. But when you
I'm open to it, but I just not experienced.
I would say, but you're very skeptical, just because, I mean, it's kind of like your jadedness towards love and all that fun stuff.
I'm daring it.
Yeah, I would say exactly. You're just like, you're like, go ahead, try and prove it. And the problem's going to be that, well, yes, that's a good in theory kind of way to do it. You don't want the spirits to come around and be like, okay, well, you don't believe us doing the gentle things. Guess what? This other guy over here, the one who's not going to be gentle, is not the one that you want.
He's got claws.
Yeah, I would say, which is going to be a problem. Like, so,
have you ladies ever used a Ouija board?
Yes.
I will not, because I get mad at people who do it.
Don't hate me, Crispy.
Yep, she's going to hate me. She's going to hate me, too.
I was going to say,
don't unfriend us.
That's it. I'm done with both of you people. So, most people who use Ouija boards, I get people who do it for fun who aren't into the stuff anyways. Like, I totally understand it. I would say, I get that. I completely understand it. For those who fully believe in it and try to tell me that they have respect for spirits and then go and work, use a Ouija board without doing an offering, a cleansing, taking care to make sure that you do not invite someone into the space that you don't want to invite into the space.
Open the gates to hell.
Exactly. Because there's plenty of spirits who will come and try to cause you harm or other beings. And people are like, gee, I don't. Yep. And I would say, who then sit there and go, well, I don't know why suddenly all these bad things have been happening to me. And I'm sitting there going, gee, I wonder why, Linda, like, you used a fucking Ouija board. You're just like, here, let's bring in everyone.
I find it funny that you can purchase a Ouija board at, like, Toys R Us.
That's where I bought mine.
Yeah, Toys R Us.
I was going to say, you can Walmart. Get them anywhere now. You can even get, I saw one recently. Oh, it was a rug, because people were like, oh, great. The Roomba went around and hit a different bunch of different letters, and suddenly there's a demon portal in my living room. It's like, oh, yeah, it's all fun and games until it happens.
I remember when I was younger, I don't know if I've ever asked my dad or not whether he believes in ghosts, and I know he believes, like, in aliens and stuff, but I don't know if he believes in ghosts or not. But I remember the one thing growing up was, like, we were not, under no circumstances, like, to use a Ouija board in our house. That was, like, when my dad, like, fuck no, right? Mm-hmm. So, of course, one night him and my mom went out, and it was near Halloween, and my sister had a bunch of friends over and stuff, and we freaking played with a Ouija board in the house.
I'm not surprised. It's like sitting there going, stiff as, what is it? Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Light as a feather, stiff as a board. Everyone has to do it at least. Yep, everyone has to do it at least once in their life.
I've done it twice, but I did it when I was really young at a friend's house. We did it. And again, it's something that, like, I don't believe in, because, like, even though I, like, when I was young, and we did it at a friend's house, the thing moved, but again, like, I didn't move it. But yeah, I didn't move it. But who's to say that the other three people, somebody didn't move it, right? So that's the thing. And then, of course, when we did it at my house, it didn't move at all, which, you know, I mean, we already lived with Satan. So, like, who else can you summon, right? Like, we already had our very own Satan.
Yeah, you're like, we're good.
So
I love when Dana leans in because you know that she's got something to say.
I feel like all the bad things I've done start with so Anne and I.
I've noticed that trend, I'm not gonna lie. Anne's gonna be afraid to meet us. She's gonna be like, all you guys have heard are just bad things about me.
So Anne and I went to Toys R Us and she bought a Ouija board for $10. I want to say we were 20, 21 at the time. And her parents were out for the night. And of course, I was at her house for the weekend. And we were playing with it.
Shocker.
I don't know for sure if weird things happened or if it was just my wild imagination, but yeah, we never played with it ever again. The flame went up on the candles, like the flame went really high on the candles. Shadows. So yeah, Anne and I got into a lot of shit when we were young. Sorry, Anne.
Anne's sitting there, she's like, Jesus Christ.
She's like, you're throwing me under the bus, woman.
She's going to have to come on as a guest to, like, clear the air.
She's going to be like, listen, I did all of these things under duress. Dana made me do them.
I'm on this show to clear my good name.
Curious if my sister believes in ghosts or not.
Oh, you should ask her.
I know she's intrigued for sure by it because, like, she likes to watch those ghost hunter shows and stuff on TV, which I just, you know, I try watching them and there's a couple things.
Here we go.
Soapbox for Peanut.
Skeptical Peanut's coming out.
And she wonders why I said she probably won't ever hear anything. The veil's like this thick in front of her third eye.
So it's like, one, I don't trust anything I see on TV because they can easily manipulate. But I absolutely love when they're filming or doing something and then they're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
You've heard nothing.
And I heard nothing. Yep. And then it's like, seriously, what did you hear? Or did you see that? And I'm like, no, your camera's shaking like all over the place. Or they're talking over top of the noise and it's like, well, I didn't hear shit. And then they like circle the picture and I'm like, yeah, I don't see what you're seeing. That just looks like a blob. Like it doesn't, I don't see a face. How are you getting a face out of that? Or
yeah, so I was gonna say that's one of the issues that I have with those where I'm like, okay, like I've seen bits and pieces of them and then I just end up getting mad at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, no, you guys are just like, it's literally, you can see that it's a smudge or something. Like, I'm not going to disagree. I can look at pictures. I'm not as good at it as my sister is. She's been teaching me how, but I've gotten far better at it now where I can literally look at a picture. Like, the screenshot that I took last week of that, the haunted house that you told us about that you grew up in, Dana, I immediately, without you even telling me, my eyes instantly went to the upper window and I saw the old lady standing there watching out looking.
Good God, I read that, and I was like, what? I'm like, who said there's a lady in the window? I don't see shit.
For me, it's an instant thing. Like, I get that feeling, and I'm going to tell everyone this now for anyone who's listening. I don't normally talk about any of this stuff. This is actually the first time that I really talk about it, even with these two ladies, because I know how people feel about it. So it's one of those things that if I know the person's into the stuff, I will more freely talk about it and say, hey, you're not crazy. You see right there, that is where whatever, in this case, an old lady in the window, who had an old lady, had like a dressing gown kind of thing on, long silver hair, was looking out the window, just looking at the street going by. Nothing harmful from her. Just a little old lady who's watching things and just enjoying her house still after she's dead.
You just described her perfectly, and I never told you what she looked like.
I would love if somebody came up to me and said, you know, you have like a spirit following you, or I can see your aura and this is what it means. Like,
I can't. So for me, I don't see auras. My sister does. So, well, this is going to sound like a weird sentence seeing as I just said that my sister does. So the girl who I call my sister now is my ex-girlfriend. So she's my very first ex-girlfriend, and she used to tell me, like, if I were feeling angry or something, or like if I started talking about my father back when we dated, it was a decade ago that her and I dated. And when we'd talk about him, I would get mad, because at the time I was still involved with him. He still had emphasis in my life, and I would get upset about stuff, and she would actually have to physically look away from the screen. And I asked her the one, I'm like, why is it that you look away? And she explained that she was like, even if we're just talking about him in passing, your aura gets like this dark, flaming, angry red. Like it suddenly it gets bugged out. And she was like, it's sad and scary to look at. I'm like, oh,
wow.
Okay. And I was like, I didn't know that. I was like, so even if I didn't talk about him, she was like, I can tell when he crosses your mind, because that's what happens to your aura. So she would point out times where I wasn't even talking about him. I hadn't realized I'd had a thought about him. And all of a sudden she was like, why are you thinking about your dad? I'm like, ain't nobody talk about him. Why the fuck are you talking about him? And then it made sense what she told me. I don't see that. Like, I don't have that ability. Even I'm sure I could probably train into it, but I don't really want to see auras. That's just... it's fucking tiring enough seeing the other things, like being able to see the old lady in the window.
Yeah.
That there's still times, I'm not even going to lie, there's still times where it freaks me out, where I'm just like, okay, I can describe something. And then the person goes, hey, yeah, that's actually exactly it. I'm like, oh, good. I'm going to go home now.
I want somebody to, like, for me to believe, they have to truly, like, you have to impress me. You have to tell me something. There's no way you could fucking know about me, or you could know about, like, say somebody's like, oh, I see this spirit following you. They would have to describe to me, without me saying anything, an actual person that I knew for me to believe.
Meanwhile, Dana's like, well, you need Crispy to go just see describe Adrian. That old lady.
No, Peanut needs to go see Adrian.
Because I tell you one thing, in this, if there was one person in this life that I miss and could communicate with, it would be my friend Melanie.
Well, I mean, you can always still. So, Peanut, I'll tell you this. Whether you believe in it or not, that's up to you. But I'll explain it so that, again, I'm sure people will say that I'm crazy for explaining it, but I don't care. I'll explain it because I want my friend to know and understand. When we die, we're supposed to go to the other side. Now, when we go to whatever afterlife we so choose, because we do get to choose which one we want to go to, once you've crossed over and you've gone to that side, it's like plugging into that side and being able to have endless amounts of energy. They will come back and visit you whenever they want, or whenever you want them to. So if there's times that you're literally calling out to her and you want to talk to her, whether you can see her or not, she is there listening. Because so long as, like I said, so long as she's gone to the other side and crossed over, she can come and visit you anytime that you want her to. All you have to do is say, hey, Melanie, please come. I just need to talk to you. Even if you can't communicate back, I just need you here. You can cry. You can talk to her. You can spill your heart out to her, and she will be the one that hears it. Now, that goes for any dead person. Unfortunately, yes, there are some who get trapped here on this side for some reason and need to be crossed over so that way they don't break down and go psychotic and end up hurting people. But like I said, you can call on her anytime you want. And I can tell you from the feeling that I have, again, whether you believe it or not, Peanut, she did cross over to the other side. She didn't have any unfinished business. So she is free to come and go. So if you want to talk to her when you're having a bad day, she will be there.
Adrian told me the exact same thing from my dad.
I totally believe she passed to the other side because we always joked. Well, it was not a good joke. But like she had like, or if she had like, she had high blood pressure. And I said, you know, you should stop smoking. Because I said, first off, because I have high blood pressure. And I said, that's not good for your blood pressure. And you should go to the doctor. And then, and all she, every time she would just be like, I had a good run. Whenever, like, we said something. And that she'd always be like, if we were joking about, like, you know, just... oh, this is going to kill me or something. And she would just be like, I had a good run.
That's one of my go-to phrases anytime people say that. Oh, well, you're going to die. I had a good run.
Yeah.
I made
it
to 31 teen.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Not again.
I was just going to say,
my brother and I have always said whoever dies first. Whoever dies first has to come back and give the other one a sign that there's life after death. So yeah, you know, when you're kids you make stupid backs.
Yeah,
but yeah, here we are, he's 53 and I'm 52, and it's like, I'm serious, if you die before me, you better come back and give me a sign.
You're like, so help me God.
I always think to myself, like, if there was one person that would haunt my ass when they died, it would be her. But but nothing, so.
You never know, Peanut. You never know.
Well, she's been dead now for like 7 years.
So. Yeah, but
okay.
I'm saying,
she's taking her time.
If you have unexplainable weird things that might happen to you, that could be her.
All right. So whether or not Peanut believes in this, up to her. I can tell you just from this conversation, her answer is yes. She does watch you. She just doesn't do anything because she knows you won't believe. But she plays with the cats.
She plays with the cats.
I don't know why, but she plays with the cats.
Maybe you need a good slap across the face from a ghost, Peanut.
I think so. But
well, like, muster all your energy and smack her.
So fun fact, that does take a lot of energy for a spirit to be able to touch someone, even when they've crossed over. In order to get through that, to actually smack them, takes a fair bit of energy. But I was going to say, like, I was going to save it till after the show, but I don't fucking care. People can think I'm crazy, whatever.
They already do.
I was going to say, yeah, I was going to say, so for me, I know whether or not something's coming from someone else. Like, the best way to explain it is that when you have... it's not that there's another voice in your head, but there's another conversation in your head going on. So you'll hear a word come in, but it's not something that goes along with your own thought process. It'll be something that has nothing to do with your own thought process. And I can tell, I get this weird feeling in the solar plexus area when there's someone trying to nag and say something to me that's not my own thought. So while you're talking about Melanie, her response was just continuously, yes, I'm there for you. Sitting next to you on the couch, yes, I'm there for you. That was all I kept getting. I was going to say it after the episode, and I just no longer care. So please, just talk to her.
So you mean to tell me, when I'm sitting on the couch and I'm trying to figure out what to have for dinner, and suddenly the word taco flashes in my mind, that's going to be giving me a sign?
That's me.
I was just going to say, that could be me or Peanut, I'm not going to lie.
I honestly believe that if I was thinking about what to have for dinner and my dad was trying to get through to me, he'd be like, pizza, cabbage and noodles, homemade soup. All of his favorites, right?
So I have a story for you. Ooh. That
Dana's all excited. Yay!
Again, I'm a non-believer, yet it happened to me.
And yet she still doesn't believe.
This is why I said skeptic.
Yep, and it's going to sound, it's going to be the most craziest story that I've ever told. Oh, good
God, I love it already.
I was just going to say, I expect nothing less.
That I've ever told. And I...
You told some crazy ones.
So, probably like... Maybe about a year. No, it was over a year, maybe a couple years now, because I lived at my old apartment, okay? And I just chuck it up to, like, a dream. So one night, I was sleeping. And while I was sleeping, I had this weird dream that...
Data's going to lose her fucking mind while she's listening to this. You all can't see her face, yeah, but oh my God.
That first off, there was, I was laying, so it was me laying in bed, and I was looking at myself sleeping.
Mm-hmm. She's astral.
And,
I was just going to say astral projection, but okay.
And there was a dark figure at the end of my bed, and I couldn't, like, I could just see, I just knew it was a dark figure, like, and I knew it, I could feel that it wasn't a good person, like, a good thing. And I, in my dream, I could see myself leaving my body. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was hovering above my body, and then all of a sudden, my body I slammed back into my body, and that's what woke me up, because I literally felt like I slammed into my bed.
Mm-hmm. You weren't dreaming.
Dana's in there. Dana is just, you all, I so wish sometime, once in a blue moon, I wish that we could show the videos of this. Oh. Just so that you could see Dana's face and her just sitting there like...
I've never had, yeah, I've never, like, had
I'm
that.
I'm not pretty. Nobody's seeing my face.
Yeah, I know. I've never had that before or since, but it was one of those, like, I truly, that's what woke me up, is I felt like I slammed back into my bed.
Because she did.
Dana's like, you can't get better proof than that. It physically happened to you.
So that's my crazy story.
Dana is literally just sitting there. She's like, I don't understand what better proof you need.
I'm telling you, somebody's got a ghost has got to slap Peter across the face.
Even then, she wouldn't believe it. She'd be like, it's a dream.
It was a dream, because it's like total ass craziness. And,
it's not. It's astral projection.
It doesn't. But that, I don't believe in that.
You did it. Everyone does it.
It's a dream.
So a similar thing happened to me. Only the dark figure at the end of my bed was pulling my legs.
Mm.
He was pulling my legs to get me out of bed. I woke my husband and my daughter up by trying to crawl up my bed. I was still sleeping, crawl up my bed, and I was like, outside of my body, I was screaming to them. I was whimpering the word no.
Yep.
Well, I didn't feel like, I felt he was definitely like, it was not a good spirit, and they weren't pulling my legs, but I felt like he wanted pulling me out of my body, though.
I would say he wanted, like, to take your body
in.
Yep.
Yeah, like I totally felt like he was the one that was causing me to rise out of my body and that.
Once this episode is over, I'll have more stories, because I feel like I've told enough to have people go, what the fuck?
You're crazy.
Exactly. Dana's going to be like, I knew it.
Every one of our listeners now.
That bitches are crazy.
Suddenly, listening, the viewership is going to go down. They're going to be like, these bitches are fucking, those meds that they should be on are not working.
Oh. But that's the only
we
thing.
We like totally went off topic too.
Well, no, technically, this is all part of it.
Yeah,
it's spooky. I was going to say, it's spooky season. It's how it's affected our mental health. Weirdly enough, my mental health, like this, I'm sure, again, people will be like, this is fucking crazy. This has helped the spirituality, once I fully accepted it, has helped my mental health immensely. And I got lucky enough, thank all the fucking gods, I got a therapist who also believes in this stuff. So the first, I was going to say the first few episodes I saw her, the first few sessions I saw her when she had like, when she asked that first, that fateful question of, do you hear voices? No. Do you hear voices? No.
Do you see people that aren't there?
No. And then about,
who's that guy in the corner?
Who's that guy in the window looking in here? Na 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 na. So I was probably 4 or 5 sessions in before we were talking, like after a couple sessions, we started talking about energies and how all of the natural stuff and everything works together in tangent. And we started talking about it. And I told her, because by that point in time, I was no longer a hot mess. I wasn't crying every fucking session. And I told her, I was like, you remember when you asked me that question about hearing voices? And she started to smile and laugh. She's like, yeah, I love that question. I'm like, yeah, well, when you asked, my answer was no. And now that I know you better and I understand that you understand this stuff, the answer is yes. But not in a crazy, like, oh, go and murder everyone sort of way. And she was like, she started to laugh. She's like, yeah, I try to use that one with a grain of salt, because she's like, now that I know you, I know that you're spiritual. I know that you're into the witchcraft. I know that you're into those things. These aren't unheard of voices. She's like, they're not voices that are coming in telling you to go and mass murder everyone, which would be worrying. She said, but you're communicating with other people and other beings. She's like, that I completely understand. That's not insanity. Whew. Yeah, I was like, I did not want to say that in,
anxiety
session one.
Level goes down.
So he's like, yeah. Yeah, so he's like, whew, okay, good, because there was no good way to explain that. Mind you, I don't go into great detail with her because I'm like, yeah, no, she doesn't need to know all of it. But she was like, no, I understand that completely. She's like, I have other clients that are the same where they're like the first few sessions. Oh, of course I don't hear none of that. So what are you talking? That's crazy. Then after several sessions, they're like, yeah, I lied.
One time, shortly after Mel passed away, I was driving to work on the 401 and a song came on the radio. And I knew it was like a song she would totally love. And that's what made me think of her, right? And I just could feel her next to me. But you know, it's just, but it's not like, I don't think of it as it's. I think it's like,
literally it's a sign. True,
but I knew that like she would like the song, and just. To me, it was just a reminder of, like, you know, just kind of a memory of how, like, we used to, like, she would be next to me in the car and we'd be listening, driving.
Yeah, never mind the fact that the spirit was belting out the song, dancing along to it as you went, but that's fine.
Like, I totally could picture her, like, do it, like, singing, dancing to it. Like, it was totally
she was.
I have satellite radio in my car, so I get all these awesome stations. My older brother, his favorite band was Quiet Riot. It was the 80s people.
I like Quiet Riot.
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with that.
Me too. His favorite song was Mama, We're All Crazy Now. Don't take that in context, people. The one day we were on afternoons, and my brother passed away on November 11th, and it was kind of near his death date. And get in the car, and usually I'd put my iPod on if I had a particularly rough day, but I was feeling pretty good after that shift, and I'll leave it on satellite radio. So the stations that I listen to are the 80s channel, the 90s channel, classic vinyl.
I like Hair Nation.
Yes.
Hair Nation.
Ozzy's Boneyard.
Ozzy's Boneyard.
Yeah.
Turbo, Liquid Metal. Okay. So I had been listening to the 80s station when I parked. Get in my car. Hit my button to go. It's on the 80s channel. Quiet Riot's on. Mama, we're all crazy now. I'm like, listen to the song, sing along, wait to get out of the parking lot. Next song comes on and click over to the 90s channel. It's Quiet Riot. Mama, we're all crazy now. I'm like, oh, my luck. Listen, and I'm dancing in the car and I'm singing along. Channel ends. Song ends. Weird song to the next channel, and it's a classic station. Quiet Riot's on. Mama, we're all crazy now. I'm like, what the
you
fuck?
You was determined. Point, holy like, shit.
I'm like, what the fuck at this point? I'm not going to do this three times in a row. I go over to Ozzy's Boneyard. Same song. Go over to Hair Nation. Same song. Go over to Turbo. Same song. Go to Rock Bar. Same song. At that point, I'm like, okay, I'm listening. What do you want? And I just listened to the song. And when the song was done, I'm like, my radio shut off. I'm like, okay. My iPod on. Like, you ever tried to operate an iPod while you're driving? Don't. Try to put my iPod on. My iPod won't go on. I cannot get into any of my songs on my iPod. So I'm banging it on the seat beside me. Finally, it goes on. And I'm around here in church on the expressway at this time. My iPod goes on. I have 1,926 songs on my iPod at
God
this
damn.
Time. I've added more. Starts playing Quiet Riot. Mama, we're all crazy now. Take it for whatever. For whatever reason, he wanted my attention. He got it. I still don't know what he wanted. But we listened to that song quite a lot on the ride home. And it's just, again, Peanut, like, you have to, you can't be doubtful when something like that happens. You have to accept.
Unless that, it's Peanut.
That after for giving you a sign.
I remember right after she passed away, I think I don't know if it was right after I had went to the memorial or something. I went out to my friend's house, my cousin and his wife, and I was out there, and she said that her friend was coming out, and like we had went to high school with this girl, and that so this girl Heather, and she came out and she brought like her guy friend, this guy with her, right? And anyways, my Mel had worked at MTS when she passed away, and so anyways, Heather comes out with this guy that like none of us have ever met before. No, we don't know him or anything like that. And somehow we got talking about Melanie and how she just passed, and I had just went to like her memorial or something. And here, this guy worked at MTS and knew her. Oh. And I was like, wow, that's what a weird coincidence.
I'm going to say small world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dana's still over there. She was giving you so many messages and you still refuse to believe.
Please just start accepting the signs.
All the spirits are thank like, yeah, you. Just please. Please, for the love of God.
Your friend's sitting on the couch going, oh, thank God somebody's telling her. She's finally listening.
She's pacing the house like, for fuck's sake, what other signs would you like me to give you?
Short of throwing the cat across the room.
Wow, that cat jumped really far today. Oh my God, she's floating.
Oh, awesome.
But
what a good episode. I'm good about this one.
I think to add in though that I did, if anybody wants to check out our Facebook page, that I did post three articles more centered on where I live, the Amesburg, Ontario, Canada area, with stories of some of the haunted places around here and the myths. And I think I posted one what was the top 10 haunted places in Ontario, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they're kind of a fun and interesting read, and that. So hopefully you'll go to our Facebook page and you can read some of the little spooky stories from this area of the world.
You know, I completely forgot what originally we were talking about for this episode.
Also, look up Fort Malden, because Fort Malden obviously is very haunted. It was a battleground. Yes. If you Google Fort Malden, Amesburg, Ontario, you'll get a lot of articles written about the what happened here and the ghosts that are still here.
So one of the things that I was actually going to bring, I just now, literally as we're talking about this, I'm like, oh, I remember what I had thought about last week, that I was like, yeah, we should talk about this stuff. And then we didn't talk about what we were going to talk about. Instead, we were on the soapbox of, God damn it, Peanut, listen to the spirits. So I don't know if you ladies knew this, because I sure as fuck didn't. So growing up, I lived on the street called Academy Drive. It's over in South Windsor off of Norfolk, just about, I think it's 9 blocks off of Dougal. So I never questioned why it was called Academy Drive. Just always was growing up. I didn't know that there actually legitimately was a gigantic, massive fucking academy over where it's now called St. Mary's Gates. It's a little suburb that, again, I didn't know that all used to be until they took it down in the late 70s, early 80s, if I remember correctly. And it was an international school, boarding school. They used to have people from all over the world come to school here at the academy. And I had no freaking idea that that ever existed. And it was Catholic run, if I remember correctly. So it was Catholic run. It was a gigantic, massive school. And it was one of those things of, I never knew that it was there. And I looked at pictures because I actually joined a couple Facebook groups to see what it used to look like. And I'm like, oh my God, I actually can see my house that I grew up in the picture from the 50s there of the drive up to it. And it's one of those things of, like I said, for me, because I'm not great at it, but I can see the things in the pictures. The feeling that you get, or that I get when you look at the pictures of that place, the amount of despair, the amount of screaming that I hear, the amount of fear, trauma, all those fun things, where it's like, okay, but no one ever talks about or knows about. And I was like, oh, so that's why that ground feels weird when I went for walks over there. And I had no freaking idea that ever existed, because the suburbs popped up so goddamn fast.
Do you know when that academy was open?
It was open from the early 1900s until 1970-something.
I wonder. Loads. I wonder if there is Indigenous children buried there.
I'd be willing to bet yes. Just because, like I said, they accepted students from worldwide. Because there were some people commenting on it that were from Mexico and like Ireland.
But you think about it, we have an Indigenous reservation just by Chatham, Walpole Island, up in that area. That's an Indigenous territory.
Mm-hmm.
So if, and we all know, I'm sorry, you Catholic people, but we all know what you guys did to Indigenous children along with the government. If that academy was open in the early 1900s, what are the chances that they took their children to make them Canadian,
Catholic?
And I mean, we all know the abuse that they endured, and some of them were killed. And they covered it up by burying the bodies on the ground of the school.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. So
maybe that's some land somebody needs to check out. Just saying, if anybody out there can do that.
It's really hard. It's going to be hard to check out the land because the academy, I'll see if I can find the pictures of it again. The academy, like I said, was massive, 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 massive. And sprawled a huge amount of land, and is now covered by hundreds of houses because they immediately imploded it and immediately started building houses on that land. And now it just makes so much more sense now. As I've gotten older, I'm like, I didn't know that. But even talking about it, I get that feeling again where it's like, okay, no, I can hear the echoes of the screams in my head. I'm like, yep, there's definitely dead children in there again. And I'm sure you're right.
I would love because I love like listening and hearing those types of stories about like old buildings and stuff like that used to be around here and that. And I would love if like people listening would like send us some stories or post it on our Facebook page. I know there's something in Amherstburg, so if anybody's listening from this area, that there's something to do with St. John the Baptist Church. And there was the school right next door to it that was supposedly haunted.
Mm-hmm.
The St. John the Baptist, it was a French school. Mm-hmm. And something about when they tore it down, and that I thought that they had found bones and stuff under the school. I'm not absolutely positive of that. I thought I recall hearing something about that. They're building apartment buildings on it now on the land. But I if anybody is from around here listening and has heard that, it'd be interesting to hear the story behind it.
Oh my God! You know what I thought of? Oh, when you were saying they found bones, all I could think of was that scene in the Poltergeist movie, the original, not the remake.
Oh, the swimming pool?
No, where the dad, I forget the guy who played the dad.
Craig T. Nelson.
Yes, Craig T. Nelson grabs the guy that built the subdivision and says, "You moved the headstones, but you didn't move the bodies."
Yeah.
I wonder how many houses are built over graveyards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, loads of them.
Especially like I think especially like Indian graveyards too, right? Because I don't think they particularly had markers or that.
Well, no, because they didn't have to. That was the whole point of it, is that when you bury someone, you're just kind of like, okay, well, we don't go over there. They're returned to the earth. And then white people came along and went, we're going to build right here. this feels like a good spot.
There's a body there, you say?
So we won't go too deep for our foundations. We'll go 5.5 feet.
But yeah, Peanut's right. Anybody out there that's listening, if you guys have stories or even links to stories we can read about our area. I know Sandwich Town has a lot of quote unquote haunted areas, the Bobby House, Mackenzie Hall, you know, the old jail.
Yes.
So, you know, if you guys know about those, just humor us. We want to hear those stories.
Even stuff from the States and
I was just going to say,
and
I'd like
Europe
to,
and stuff. Listen,
if you think it's haunted, we want to hear about it. I don't care where it's located.
I was just going to say that exactly. Like, I would like to expand upon that where it's like, yeah, if you know our area, great. That's fantastic. I'd love to hear that too. However, I would love to hear, like, if you know things that are happening in the States, or if you know things that are happening in any country, or you've heard something that you're like, oh my God, you know what I really love learning about is this, the Wendigos over in BC, the shapeshifters over here, like, just give them all. I want to hear them all. Why are you tapping your fingers
so
evilly?
You know what show I watch?
Which one?
The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes.
I've never even heard of that one.
Yeah,
it's really good.
It's a ranch in Utah that has had weird happenings, cattle mutilations and stuff. And they're trying to figure out what is going on in that. They've had a lot of while they're filming, but again, it's TV, so I don't put much faith into it.
You don't put much faith into anything.
Yeah, I was gonna say all of the signs and Peanuts like, nope, I've never seen a thing.
But they like are shooting, like they shoot rockets up and with different stuff to meters and gauges and all this stuff, and they like have seen they call them, what are they, U something A's instead of UFOs? They're unidentified flying, like, not objects.
Aircraft,
yeah, something like that. Or UAFs, that's what it is, unidentified, like, aerial phenomenon or something.
Oh, okay, yes.
And so they've had that, and they're digging into, like, the mesa on this ranch, and they said they found some kind of metal dome thing that they think is embedded in the mesa, and they've had a weird frequency that they've picked up, and that, like, something's trying to communicate, and it's like a frequency that, like, is not used and stuff. It's an interesting show, but it's, again, like the type of stories that we're looking that are interesting and stuff.
The story is called The Tommyknockers, and Stephen King wrote it. You ever read that book?
Yeah, I read The Tommyknockers, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So I think...
They made a show of that, too. They made a miniseries of the Tommyknockers,
yeah,
too.
So I think next week... One of the things that we're going to talk about, because I can guarantee everyone who's listening, we're going to get fucking off topic again. I can guarantee it. We're just general. When we say we have topics, it's very generalized topics. that's realistically,
it's a
like
your suggestion.
Yes. It's kind of like, you know, the pirate code. There are more guidelines than rules. So next week, one of the things that I think I'm going to talk about, and I know Dana's probably played some of the scary stuff, but as much as I hate horrors, and I know I keep saying that, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I've watched Halloween and all these other things, and Peanut's like, what the fuck? I do enjoy, for some weird reason, playing the scary video games that scare the shit out of me. I'm not even going to lie. Like, I jump and then my mom gets mad at me because I jump, I scare her, and she's like, stop fucking doing that. But I play the games by one of the developers known as Supermassive, and theirs are story-driven video games that tell horror stories, but not just horror stories. They're actually the true stories. So, We'll go over some of that next week, because there's one that I still haven't finished playing yet because they use mannequins in it and it scared me and I stopped.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We need to cut it short. We're at an hour and 35 minutes on this episode.
Yep. That's why. That's why I was like, that's for
if
next
you
week.
Stuck with us this long, we thank you very much.
That we appreciate
you
so much.
You are a dedicated listener.
Yeah.
So next week, video games that scare Taylor.
Yeah. It's a surprisingly long list. So, and before we finish, what's something we're going to change it slightly instead of just something that we're grateful for this week. What's something that you love about this time of year? Specifically spooky season. Dana, you may go first.
She's like, what don't I love?
Oh, I kind of froze. So I didn't hear what she said.
See, okay, it is Dana's thing, not mine, because seriously, Peanut heard it. So I said, instead of something that we're going to be grateful for this week, which is like, yes, we are, what's something that you love about spooky season specifically?
I love the adrenaline rush of being scared shitless.
You are just like you're an adrenaline junkie.
Like, there's a horror movie called Sinister. Mm-hmm. It's got Ethan Hawke in it. Taylor, you would never watch it. Peanut, you would probably watch it. The music alone sends chills up your spine.
I'm pretty sure I watched the first one.
That movie is my go-to movie if I want to pee myself on the couch.
That is not fun to me.
It is just such an amazingly well done horror movie, and it just does not get the recognition it deserves. Like, it's, I put it right up there with The Shining and The Exorcist.
Damn.
For me.
That's high praise.
That is very high praise coming from me. It's like the Insidious franchise, the Conjuring franchise, boom, Sinister. It is just amazing. I love it. And it, because it does have those jump scares. So, you know, if something movie wise makes me go, oh, it's a good movie. Remember that, folks. If I don't jump, but if I gasp and move back on the couch, it's worth watching. So, yeah, that's what I like about spooky season.
All right. What about you, Peanut?
Okay. So there's two things. There's more than two, but I'm like, ooh, Dana. I enjoy these spooky movies, scary movies at this time of year. I mean, I enjoy them all year round, but there's just something more pleasurable about watching them during Halloween. Mm-hmm. And two, not gonna lie, love the candy.
Ooh, yeah.
The mini, yeah, chocolate bars and stuff.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
And I so think those Dana are my again. Two things. Yeah, I think so too. Just kind of like not impressed.
Yeah. Dana's just like,
I
okay.
did freeze again.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear your second one. So when I edit the episode, I'm gonna have to listen.
She's going to be like, what was it? Like, oh, I agree with that.
The second thing was the candy. Oh, she's being frozen again. She said it.
No, she's thinking about it.
No, I enjoy giving the candy.
No, I mean eating it.
I'm not. For some, you throw a Mars bar at me, I'm going to love you forever.
Like, I like that they're
Butterfinger?
Just like,
it may get personal. Peanut butter cup, and we're friends for life. But those are the only three that I will.
Oh
go
no!
For.
I like that they're. I like that they're. They come in like the miniature packets, and they come in like a variety box.
Yes.
And that, because it's like, I don't like to eat a whole chocolate bar. I find is too sweet for me. So. like just to have like a little, and then it's sometimes you want this and sometimes you feel like this.
Yeah.
So it's nice that they're variety. Same with, and I like all the small, like, I just like all the candy. I'll just leave it at that.
She's like, I just want all the candy. Fuck them kids. I want the candy for me.
It's hilarious when kids come trick-or-treating at my door. It really is. It's a sight to behold. I have witch's cauldrons that I put my candy in and hand out. So, cauldron number one is candy. Cauldron number two is chocolate bars. You get some from each.
Oh.
Cauldron number three is the peanut-free stuff. And every kid that walks up to me, because I sit in my driveway dressed up to hand out candy, every kid that walks up to me, peanut allergy? Okay, you can have this stuff. Peanut allergy? This is for you. I try to make sure that
they can eat their candy.
If they're out trick-or-treating and they have a peanut allergy, they can eat more than the fucking suckers they're getting. Uh-huh. They can eat those Mars bars. So, yeah. Three cauldrons, friends.
She's all done up. That's it. Peanut and I are going to your place and we're trick-or-treating after work.
Oh, I'd love that.
Hi, Miss Data. We're here for candy.
Just to let you know, though, you got to have a costume on.
My costume will be overworked press operator. With bags under my eyes.
Are you guys on afternoons for Halloween?
Yes.
Oh, that blows monkey balls.
It really does. Because it interrupts, and this is what I'm always, what I love so much about spooky season. My mom and I have our list of Halloween movies that we watch. Very, very, very different than the ones that Peanut and Dana watch. Let me just say that now. We watch Frankenweenie, Nightmare
Not
Before
Christmas.
Not if
Mama had her way.
Oh, no. If Mama had her way, it would be right up there with Dana. I, however, get the final vote. So, therefore, it's Frankenweenie, Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, the Scream movies. Like, we can watch the Halloween movies, all those. And then always, it is our tradition on Halloween night to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is what we have done for I don't even know how many years now. It's been so long. The only time that we missed the tradition of watching Rocky Horror was when Mama was in the hospital, 4 years ago this month. So that was the only time that we've missed watching Rocky Horror Picture Show on Halloween. So, my God, I will be crewing down a full fucking entire shift that day. And so help me, God, if I have to bribe my way out of there, I will throw candy at all of the supervisors.
I'm telling you what you got to do. Number one, don't tell anybody you want to go home. You work an hour and a half.
Who listens to this podcast?
Nobody from VP. Yeah, you work an hour and a half into your shift. And at around 3:30... start holding your stomach. Just kind of hold your stomach and wince a little. Be like, but you got to make sure somebody's walking by so they see you doing this. And then at 4 o'clock when you go on break, or if you go at 4:10, whatever, you go up to your supervisor and you say, you know what? I've got really, really bad stomach cramps and I've been in the bathroom like 5 times already. I think I need to go home. Yeah, you know how many Halloweens I did that?
All I'm thinking about are the supervisors that would look at me and be like, I'll go grab you a diaper, don't worry, you can keep running those presses.
Yeah, we got some Depends in the office.
Here, you're fine, put that on. There's your Halloween costume too, Cupid. Get back to it.
Well, we will all pray for crew down for you ladies. So this brings us to an hour and 45 minutes and an end to our show. Again, if you stuck with us still, thank you very much.
Yes.
Email us, depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. Find us on Facebook. Taylor, I'm doing your job.
I was just going to say, I'm surprised. All of a sudden you start talking, I'm like, what just happened here? You can also find the episodes posted on our personal pages, such as my Instagram at GoddessTT25, Dana's TikTok at Scooby71, S-K-O-O-B-I, 7-1, or on her X, a.k.a. Twitter, of Scooby, S-K-O-O-B-I.
Perfect. And I'm not employed, so I'm going to stop stealing people's jobs. Thank you again, everyone. We hope you are enjoying our spooky chats. Who knows what November is going to bring? Maybe we're talking turkey. Who knows? But we hope you all have a great week, and we'll talk to you next weekend. Ciao now.
Ciao.
Bye.